There's no crying in baseball!
You're 5 feet nothing, 100 and nothing, and you got hardly a speck of athletic ability. And you hung in with the best college football team in the land for 2 years!
I said, fuck you, Joe Boone. I do it myself.
In here, there were two guys killing each other. But I guess that's better than 20 million. But what I'm trying to say is that if I can change, then you can change. Everybody can change!
Welcome to Montucky Skies. I'm Biggs.
I'm Zach. Just me today.
Yeah, no Brandon today because he's in Las Vegas, which is going to lead me to my story right away. So when we recorded last week, we went out on the porch and Zach had to leave early because he had to work early in the morning. And me and Brandon were talking and he was lamenting because he was like, oh, man, I wanted to go see Evil Dead the musical, but it wasn't playing on the nights I was there. I was like, what? Because I've heard about it a couple years ago, but I didn't realize it was playing in Vegas. So, like, right in front of Brandon, I start looking up the information and calculating the ticket prices, and I'm just like, I'm going to go.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, me and Brandon, our Vegas trips are overlapping by one day, so we're going to hang out my first night in Vegas and get a drink, and then he's getting on a plane the next day, and our Vegas trip has just begun at that point. But, so I will have a full review about Evil Dead the musical. I'm really looking forward to this, man. Like, the more I read about it, the more I was, like, really anxious for it. Like, River wanted to go. It's, like, ages 10 and up can go. So I was like, yeah, all right. But she wanted to watch a horror movie last night, and I don't remember what she was going to watch. She wanted to watch Ouija or something else, and I was like, I don't really want to watch that, but if you want to watch Evil Dead 2, which is based off, she didn't like Army of Darkness, so I like, but it was a couple years ago, so I didn't mention that like Army of Darkness is a sequel to this, and she's like, well, what about the first one? I'm like, I started thinking about the tree rape scene, and I'm like, you know,
we don't need to do the first one.
I was like, we don't have to watch the first one. They kind of encapsulate what happens in the first one in like the first 15 minutes of the movie, so we sat down to watch it. She just kept going, what is going on the entire movie?
Which is the appropriate reaction, by the way.
And the other the funny thing was we're sitting there talking and I mentioned the splatter zone. So there's three grades to go to Evil Dead the musical. There's like the back seats, there's a VIP seating, which is what I paid for, and then there's a splatter zone, which I wanted to, but it's kind of spendy and I would have spent it, but my wife's just like, I don't want to be in the splatter zone. And River's like, what kind of splatter zone could they even have in a play? I'm like, spoken like somebody who never saw Evil Dead. And so when we're sitting there talking about it, like, we're watching the movie and then every time there's like blood spraying out, she's like, oh, that's why there's a splatter zone. She said that like 10 times.
Now you see what the move should have been was to get you and her in the splatter zone and let your wife either sit elsewhere or go have her own adventure.
She would have been upset. But that's okay. Like, it was a cheaper ticket. Like I said, it's significantly cheaper ticket.
And you won't have to clean your clothes, which will be nice.
Yeah. Well, my thought was like, just wear a raincoat and get like a shower cap. Yeah. Like, that's what I was going to do. I was very excited for it.
You might need to look into upgrading your ticket when you get there and just be like, what? As soon as it's too late for your wife to argue, just be like, all right. And by the way, you guys are sitting here. Have fun. I'll see you after the show.
I'm going to the splatter zone. And I'm really looking forward to this because there's like two, like they showed two of the names of songs in the movies and one's called What the Fuck or What the Fuck Was That is one of the names of the song. And another name of a song is All My Boyfriends Get Killed by Kentarian Demons.
Interesting.
And we were looking at some of the stills, like, They have people who are like, they have their head like, you know, like on tabletops and stuff, right? So that they're like acting on tabletops. So like, it looks great, dude. And I guess it incorporates all three movies in there. So
good. So you get your money's worth.
Yeah. Cause I'm more interested in seeing Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness than I am Evil Dead. I love Evil Dead. Don't get me wrong, but
that's not the highlight.
Yeah, that's a trilogy that got better with every movie. I feel like when they introduced humor was like,
it was a real game changer.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yep.
And I can't, I know I talked about it on the show, but I don't remember if you're with it. Did you hear that, like, they're doing a
the Army TV show?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh my God, dude. And so apparently the plot, Sam Raimi talked about it a little bit. And so he said the idea, and I think they're doing 10 to 13 episodes. I don't remember, but I think it's for Stars. And so the idea is that Ash has been like, it's like 20 years after Army of Darkness is over. And he's like kind of a legendary demon hunter, but demons keep showing up to, like,
of course,
challenge him.
Because now he's got an, all the demons are going to make their name with
him. He's got a legacy. Now he's got to hold it, kind of thing. And I think that's such a great idea, like modern day. But
that'll
just
be a,
like,
lot of fun.
Yeah. Like, I like the idea that he's working at S-Mart and, like, having to fight all these things. They have to do that, right?
Of course.
He's still got to be at S-Mart.
Of course.
That makes it way funnier.
So this means the Evil Dead reboot franchise, we're just leaving that behind at this point, right?
No, they're making a sequel.
They keep saying they are, but they never take any steps towards actually doing it.
Well, what I've heard is they're still in the script process, and they're going to continue off of where the first one left off, and they're not... It's not a remake of Evil Dead 2 at all. It's just
it'll be, well, and that's what I would expect.
Which I just, like, if you're going in an alternate direction, do that. Like, I'm all about that, because, like, we've got the thing that I care about the most. I'll totally go and check out the other one, because the remake, pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
I liked it. It was pretty good. It's my fourth favorite, but I still like it. It was definitely, like, gruesome.
Super gruesome.
And pretty scary at some parts. So I was all about it. And I like that they did sneak in Bruce Campbell at the very end. If he stayed past the credits,
he's there.
He had his little Marvel singer in it, where he goes groovy.
He's the Nick Fury of that universe.
That's right.
Do you want to talk about Ghostbusters?
Oh, that.
Yeah, it took a real hard swerve with you.
That's funny, because I was going to bring it up last week, and I just totally spaced it. And I know a lot's been said about it already.
But
so
I've
I don't
got
know
things
how original.
I want to say about it. So.
Okay. I really like the idea of the female remake of Ghostbusters because of the cast. I think it's a great idea.
I should say I do, with a bit of hesitation, in that if we're going to do it, then I think that's the way to go.
I agree.
I just don't know that I need it. Like, I still need to be sold on it.
I don't need it, but I'm on board so far. I was not on board with a lot of stuff with Ghostbusters 3. I heard about it, like, it just genuinely seemed like Bill Murray didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And at this point with Ramis out, it's just like, I don't know. If they want to give Dan Aykroyd a cameo, I get it. But
yeah,
I like the idea of, like, having a complete new reboot where it's like, it's not even like they're not scientists, from what I understand.
That's the impression I'm getting with that one is that they're working for the government.
Yeah. So I'm interested in that. Now, them turning around and making, like, a reboot of all males.
Yeah, now this is... So, first of all, Ghostbusters is not the kind of franchise that needs, a shared universe. I know that every studio is trying to get their shared universe now. Ghostbusters does not need that.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Secondly, if you're going to cast Channing Tatum for the Ghostbusters reboot, wouldn't it be...
Is that the talk right now?
No, he's in it.
He's in it?
Yeah.
Is there anybody else confirmed in it?
If there was, I didn't see them.
Okay. Well, I hope he's the Dan Aykroyd character.
Oh,
then.
See.
If they're going off of existing characters.
Yeah. I think if you're going to do it, there's a much better and funnier and smarter way to use him. Let him be the secretary in the female-led one. Like, isn't that a way better use of Channing Tatum? Because now we've got enough of a track record with him to know what his skill set is, and he would nail... Like, I don't want to see him as, like, the bland hero of the franchise. I want to see him as the goofy secretary.
Well, I like where you're going with this, but when I look at it, like, when you think about a male Janine counterpart, like, Janine's not, like, kind of dumb or attractive, really. Like, she's just... I don't know. She's not,
but I don't want him to just be Janine the dude.
Okay.
I want him to be his own character. I want that for all of them. I don't want any of them to be Egon the lady. Yeah, I want them to be their own distinct characters. And that's why I also wish they hadn't done 4. I wish they had gone 3 or 5 Ghostbusters in the women one. Because the first thing that's going to happen is everyone's going to start trying to draw the parallels. Like, okay, which one's which?
Okay, I remember that we had Kristen Wiig.
Mm-hmm.
We had Melissa McCarthy.
Yep.
Who else was?
Leslie Jones.
Okay, now who is that?
She's on SNL.
What does she
she's,
do?
I don't watch enough of it to know what she's a larger black lady.
Okay.
That's all I know.
So probably the Winston character then. Is she going to be introduced halfway through?
If she is, then I think it's likely she's the Winston.
You know, it's kind of bullshit. When I was rewatching part two a little while ago, I was like, wait a second. They reintroduce Winston halfway through again?
Yeah,
like, that's
right?
Kind of bullshit, dude.
Winston gets the shaft.
Yeah, he does, man. That's not fair. I hope she gets a bigger part.
Me too. Me too.
So who is the fourth one?
Kate McKinnon, and then we also know...
Kate McKinnon.
From SNL.
What does she do in SNL?
She's a white lady.
Okay. That you just named like 95...
Yeah.
Well, no. Okay, you named 95% of the women cast in SNL.
Yes, I did. She's a light hair.
Probably
white lady.
Only like 15% of the overall cast.
If I showed you a picture of her, you would recognize her.
Okay, fair enough.
And then
the name sounded familiar when you said it.
And then the other person we know who's in that one is I'm pretty sure it's Cecily Strong, and she's like the government liaison to them.
Okay. So interesting.
So I'm in a place, I'm neither on board nor off board with this. I'm still sort of waiting for more. There's nothing that's really sold me on it, but there's also nothing that's got me up in arms about it either.
Yeah.
Well, I just don't know that I personally need it. I need to see something from it first. I need some sense of the direction.
Well, if I'm to position myself one way or the other, so far I'm on board for the woman one. I'm off board for the male one.
Oh, I'm out on the male one.
Feels unnecessary. But
yeah, I'm out on the male one.
I'm not gonna say I'm not necessarily gonna go to it if there's something interesting.
I could be swayed. I could be swayed, but as it stands right now,
it does seem like.
It does seem like they're like, oh, there were some people who don't want Lady Gustbusters. Well, it looked bad to get rid of them, but let's get some dudes in here and get public
exactly
perception on our side.
That's exactly what I was
thinking.
Yeah,
it doesn't look great for them. One, I think people would view that a lot, because I do think their thought process with the male one wasn't, okay, we need an all-male one to balance out the all-female. I don't think it was... I think
it was directly a reaction to the backlash that some people had.
Well, I think that's a factor into it, but I think they would have done it anyway because they do seem to very seriously want to try to make this have its own expanded universe.
Yeah.
But I think that this other one would have been viewed a lot differently if we knew it would be like a mixed gender team. Because it wouldn't be viewed as just the all-male reaction to it. I don't know how much it would change it, but I know it would change it to some degree.
So you put in like Aziz.
Yeah, you put in like Aziz, and maybe you get sort of like Rose Byrne to be in it. I don't know. You can tell I'm not trying all that hard because I don't want this movie to exist anyway. So I'm not going to try to save their butts entirely.
Why don't we go? They got to do something insanely interesting. So we know Channing Tatum's in that one for sure.
Yeah, we know Channing Tatum.
Okay, let's make it insane with his backup, okay? All right, so if we're going to go the classic Ghostbusters style, so Channing Tatum would probably be the Dan Aykroyd, right?
I'd have to think, yeah.
Okay. I want Walter White.
Not Bryan Cranston, Walter White.
Yeah, Walter White as Egon. No, we could do Bryan Cranston, sure.
Can we get Shaquille O'Neal as Winston?
No.
We're doing this?
I have a better one.
Okay.
Forrest Whitaker.
Okay, all right, on board.
And then, what's his face, who played Dexter?
It's Michael C. Hall.
Yeah, Michael C. Hall. Channing Tatum is just gonna be looking over his shoulder constantly the entire time. Egon's gonna be like, why don't we just the kid just saw we're not allowed to use a proton pack inside. I need you to go get me a plastic tub, look for this label and get me some hydrofluoric acid.
50 gallons, please. We're gonna need some space.
It's gonna be insane. I could get on board for that.
Yeah, if that's the rest of the cast as announced,
it's literally Edie Amon. Walter White and Dexter. Like, let's spin off Dexter in a funner direction. That's he goes right. from logging to ghost busting.
He doesn't have to worry about killing anymore because they're already dead.
The guy from the EPA is trying to shut him down, like takes a drink or something and wakes up and he's strapped down with plastic, like sheeting.
That would be an amazing twist in that movie, too, if it's revealed at the end that Dexter was behind all this, like, maybe it's so they get called into action because the world is just being beset upon by ghosts. Like, as soon as they bust one, two more pop up. And it's revealed that this is all just a get-rich-quick scheme by Dexter. And he's killing people so that he'll have more ghosts to bust.
Well, if it's the get-rich-quick scheme, it's got to be Walter who does it.
That's true,
right?
Yep. He's working in conjunction with Dexter. Dexter is his tool to get the... Because they need to make ghosts.
To bring the people in. He uses Dexter to kill people. But then the twist at the end is that Walter White winds up on his table.
And then the twist of the twist is that Idi Amin was a ghost the whole time. He's a ghost. He's a ghost fighting for good.
We should have known. He died in the 90s, guys.
All the signs were there.
This sounds like a horrible idea that I hope they exploit.
I mean, if they're going to make a horrible Ghostbusters movie, go balls out. Make the worst Ghostbusters movie.
I like your style. Okay, so you have some great news that I can't wait to hear. So first off, how did you come across this news?
The internet. Just about. Okay. On websites of questionable legality that I do not want to get into.
3chan may or may not have been one of them.
And so before I get too much into this, I have to lay out some caveats.
Okay.
There's in the entire possibility that this document I found was a forgery. I mean, that we have to acknowledge that possibility.
I was going to acknowledge it later on.
Yes.
Okay. Just put it out.
We have
Front
to
Street.
Acknowledge that this, if it's real, could be an early draft that things have changed from, especially that we know the film in question.
We're
has
talking
gone to
about a script.
Yes, we're talking about a script. And when I read this, it was very late at night and I was not sober. However, I did have the presence of mind to take some notes. I have deleted the ones I could not understand, and I will walk you through the rest.
This is just like real roulette all over again.
That's right. So with those caveats out of the way, I was able to find a copy that alleged itself to be the shooting script for Fant Four Stick, the Fantastic Four reboot.
Fant Four Stick.
Haven't you seen? That's how they stylize it. F-A-N-T number 4 S-T-I-C.
Wow.
Fant Four Stick.
Okay. So lay these notes on me.
Okay. So Reed Richards is young as shit, and he's like a cashier at like a convenience store, gas station-y type place, but he's also brilliant.
So he's not a scientist?
Well, he's an amateur scientist. He's an aspiring scientist.
He got belted by cosmic rays when he was heating a burrito and the microwave malfunctioned.
And he hangs out with his buddy, Ben Grimm. They're best friends from childhood. And Reed is trying to find ways to get into this dimension he's theorized that he calls the negative zone. And he's able to. And it's all great. And we meet...
How is he able to? I need a little more detail on this.
That was one of the notes I could not decipher. So you're going to have...
Okay.
With science is how. And Reed gets recruited by Dr. Franklin Storm. Who is the father of Sue Storm and Johnny Storm. Now, everyone who thought that Johnny Storm would be adopted into a white family Other way around. Oh, white girl adopted into the black family.
Okay.
Which is I thought was a nice little twist on that.
Okay.
And so Franklin
Nice little twist on the speculation.
Well, a nice little twist on the assumption that Hollywood will always go white when given an option.
Okay, that's one more black character.
Exactly.
All right.
And So Dr. Franklin Storm recruits Reed and Ben, and they work with Sue Storm, and she's primarily in biology, and Johnny Storm, who's a pilot.
How does he find Reed when he's working at a convenience store?
Unclear. Another note I could not decipher. I think I may have skipped a few pages out of boredom, because at one point there was a note that said, I don't care about this exposition right now. So I was disregarding a lot of boring connective tissue.
Okay.
They also partner Reed with Victor Domached. Who is an antisocial programmer from Latveria, though. He is Latverian.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, and Latveria is like a war-torn country. He's like a refugee.
Okay.
And they build what's called a quantum gate to allow them further access into the negative zone.
Now, can I just work backwards a little bit? Because I'm going to be doing this too. I got to tear this apart week by week. So they didn't learn from the first failure of a movie that like having Dr. Doom be a fellow scientist is a bad idea. And like Marvel is like ready to put out Doctor Strange, and everything Marvel's doing is like hitting, and they're just like, we still don't need him to be like a magician of any sort. So let's make him a scientist again.
We'll actually get into that very shortly here.
Okay.
So they complete the gate, and it's Reed, Sue, Johnny, Ben, and Victor, and then three basically red shirts are able to do a teleportation test in which they create these disruptions. And Reed has a theory about the end zone affecting both time and space, and the disruptions are a result of the portals being opened. And so they go and do another test of the end zone, but Victor changes the coordinates of where they were planning to go to and fucks it all up. So they end up stranded there, and they're bombarded with rays. They get exposed to everything, and Ben jumps out to save Reed, and they get their powers. And Victor is like severely disfigured and very pissed, very upset about it, as one would expect him to be. So we've got ugly Victor.
Okay.
So we are taking steps in the right direction.
So we see him before he puts the helmet on?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. I can go along with that.
Victor develops his own power. He's a technopath, which is basically like Magneto, but with technology. Like he can make any technology do what he wants it to do. So he has like robot magic is essentially what his power is.
Oh, man.
Hey, he's got a power. Like, this is... let me skip to my sort of final thoughts. The big thing I walked away with was like, well, they... I mean, in a lot of ways, they're trying. Like, it's not what I thought it was, where they were just half-assing it and making something and putting the Fantastic Four name on it. They're trying.
But they're not learning. That's the problem. Like, when are they going to learn that you can just take the essence of the character and get away with it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Marvel's getting away with it. X-Men, or like the X-Men franchise is getting away with it. Why can't they just learn that they can get away with it with their characters? Like, they still have to fuck with them. Dr. Doom's still got to be on the mission so that they can explain it all in one big bow tie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, loop it all together.
So they can be tied together forever. And
yeah, and it's like...
And it's right, easy to see why they're attracted to those choices.
Because they think it makes things easier, but there's nothing easier than just saying, this is the world you're in, these are the characters, go.
Well, the other thing is they think it gives them opportunities to do interesting thing with those characters by having them in that sort of like fatally tied together, like Shakespearean drama sort of way. But that's just not what was interesting about the friction between Doom and the Fantastic Four.
No, not at all. It's that's because the part they Doom miss. Is about... dominating the world.
Yeah, it's
the Fantastic Four is about stopping Doom from dominating the world. It's much more simple than they're making it.
So we've got Reed trying to cure their powers. He feels terrible. He feels like what happened to them is his fault, which is, so that's something from the comics I'm glad they
took.
That's
also something from the Roger Corman movie.
Yes, but I mean, it's something from the comics first and foremost.
When are we going to get a reboot of the Roger Corman Fantastic Four?
So he teams up with a government operative named Harvey Elder. And Harvey is basically funding his attempts to find a cure, and Reed creates containment suits that basically help the Fantastic Four deal with their powers. And so those are those suits we've seen that are basically like the black suits like with the little stripes on them. Yeah. And the for Johnny Storm has the vents, and his must have like some sort of like, this is a incredibly rare multi-compound loose leaf fiber that is able to resist high temperatures, stretch at any rate, and be friction free in certain environments, blah, blah, blah. Like that sort of thing. It's
It also looks black because we can't have anything colorful.
Yeah. Now that's, we're going to get somewhere interesting with that. This is something I was very happy about. So Victor breaks out of the Baxter Building's medical ward, except for now I'm pretty sure they call the Baxter Building something else. I just wrote Baxter Building in my notes because I didn't like the new name, but it's something like, it's Baxter Environments or Innovations or something like that. Like it makes it sound like a bland company.
Baxter House of Exposition.
Pretty much. One thing I haven't talked about and I won't talk about, you should know Mole Man's involved in all this. Just Ooh. Doing Mole Man stuff.
Okay, I'm interested in that because Mole Man is a crazy
character. He does nothing interesting. He's basically
so
just
he's
like
probably nothing like he patsy. Is in the comic.
No, he's exactly like he is in the comic. He's a patsy.
Okay. He's just so he's patsy. Like in the Roger Corman Fantastic Four. There yes, is exactly. Mole Man in that one.
A lot of inspiration from Roger Corman.
Do they describe what he's wearing and all? Is he got like the 3D glasses look?
They don't really describe him other than he's being played by Tim Blake Nelson. So he basically
probably
looks
something
like Tim
they,
Blake Nelson.
They hand to costume designers.
There's already a picture of Tim Blake Nelson in character. He just looks like Tim Blake Nelson.
Okay.
Nothing. Maybe they give him the glasses, but... I love those glasses with the inexplicable slits in the middle of the eye.
And you're talking to that dude who is just reading a Daredevil with Mole Man. So I'm like picturing it in spades. And I want the bowl cut too. Like the Dr. Octopus style bowl cut. Yes. I want him to look just like he does in the comics.
So anyway, Victor is breaking out of the Baxter Building's medical ward, and he turns on the quantum gate, and he jumps in and disappears. And so Harvey Elder has it destroyed, which tears a hole in the space-time continuum. Bad. It's going to unravel the entire planet like the world is ending.
So is it easy to say there's at least 1,000 movies with something with a hole being torn in the space-time continuum?
Yeah.
I mean, that's safe to say, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
If they got somebody from Marvel to work on that angle, it was probably Avi Arad, I'm going to guess, dude.
Nah, he's a Sony company, man.
They got him on the telephone as a consultant.
There you go. So Reed, Sue, Johnny, and Ben escape and steal an airplane and go to the Amazons where they have a hole to the negative zone.
The Amazons?
Yeah, man. We go to the Amazons in this movie.
So are they trying to, like, take Wonder Woman before Wonder Woman hits DC? How great would that be if they just found some clause about how they could make a movie with the Almageddon? Like, was that the name of it? The ones where they mix Marvel and DC characters?
Amalgamation.
Amalgamation, yeah. What if they stole it from the Amalgamation universe?
Well, Hippolyta, Wonder Woman's mother, is a character in the Marvel universe as well.
Well, that's because she was like Greek mythology.
That's right, exactly.
It's the same as like you see Thor.
Yeah, for sure. There's a DC Thor.
Like Netflix, they have all these like Thor cartoons that aren't Thor.
Yeah, they're
like
just
Marvel.
Thor.
Yeah, because they can totally do it. They can use all those characters.
DC has their own Thor that they break out from time to time.
Is he actually named Thor?
Yeah, he's Thor Odinson.
They probably just do that to drive Marvel crazy.
Oh, of course they do.
They've done stuff like when they had Captain Marvel.
Yep.
That was they did that purely to drive Marvel crazy. Because they came up with the character first and then they kept coming up with ways to re-spin it out.
They bought it from Fawcett Comics.
Oh, was that what it was? Mm-hmm. But, well, I mean, the character already existed. Let me put it that way. And so they kept renewing it to drive Marvel crazy. And then finally they reached some kind of agreement and changed the name to Shazam.
Which, whatever.
Yeah, why don't you name yourself after the secret your word, code word. The secret word that gives you your powers. No one will figure that out. Hey, Shazam, I was wondering, whoa, I'm a superhero now.
I should also note, at no point in the script do they call it the negative zone. It's the end zone the entire time. I'm just calling it the negative zone because it's the negative zone to me.
Well, they call it the end zone and it's fine. Ultimate Comics.
Yeah, exactly.
Think,
and there's a lot of this that's taken from the Ultimate Comics, including...
Not a bad idea. The Ultimate's like... I mean, because they updated everything.
Yeah. One thing they take from that is that Sue is actually initially interested in Ben. And a lot of the friction comes from her still being attracted to him while he's the Thing.
So no name or action.
No name or action yet.
Are they the ones that have the rights?
Marvel Studios has him because he was with Universal in the Hulk deal.
Oh.
And Cap in the Hulk deal.
Okay.
Yep.
So they got Namor. Well, now that Aquaman's coming out, probably no chance of Namor coming out, right?
I would say a slim chance because, I mean, it's all now that we've seen Marvel and Fox both, like them be fine with both having Quicksilver. I'm not that they feel like they need to have him or they have something worth doing with him, then they'll do it. But yeah. I don't think they're that scared of DC at this point.
Yeah, I don't think they're scared of it. I think they're just like, I don't know if he can carry a movie. If they,
no, but that wouldn't preclude Namor's them from using him in somebody else's movie.
Yeah, I don't think Namor is the right guy to carry a movie anyway. He works better as a villain than he does
or
as a
frenemy. He works really well as a frenemy.
No, he's great as a frenemy. Yeah. when he's trying to bang Sue Storm is when he's at his height, though.
Yeah.
I love Namor.
So they go into the end zone and they are confronted by Victor, who's been essentially living in the negative zone for what's the equivalent of years. And he's like gotten super powerful and he's now calling himself Dr. Doom and he believes he's above the human race and he wants to take over the world.
Ooh.
And he tries to get the Fantastic Four on his side to take over the world. And they're like, no, because they're heroes and they fight to a standstill.
But they still have to have the speech where he's like, you know, you're like me.
Exactly.
Do you realize how much alike we are? We're like two sides of the
Look
same
at what
color.
We could accomplish together.
We could rule the galaxy as father and son. Doom and Fantastic Four.
I should also note, when they go in the hole in the Amazon to get to the negative zone, they cave it in behind them so no one can get in or out.
Okay.
So at risk to their own lives. So, you know, they're being super heroic right now.
So they're basically counting on Reed finding a way to get them out.
No, because they find out that Victor has built his own quantum gate so he can go to multiple different realities. And Victor disappears in one of these disruptions that we mentioned earlier, and the four seal the portal, and they manage to time jump to 5 seconds after they went through the portal and destroy the gate, ending the disruptions and saving the planet. And my notes made it super confusing, and I'm sure it's explained much better in the exposition I was ignoring. they're captured by Harvey Elder, and they bargain to assist the government in developing new medical technologies with their genetics. And they sort of have this wink-wink that they're going to fight back against the government if they try to make them weapons. And in exchange, Harvey Elder declares the Baxter Building self-reliant and is appointed as the team's military liaison. And Reed starts designing suits for the team and comes up with this plan to try to get their forgiveness by making them celebrities and sketches out the Fantastic Car and begins a relationship with Sue. And there's an after credit scene where Victor emerges in Latveria and starts planning his takeover. And Stan Lee has a cameo as a dude whose car gets pulled into the negative zone.
I was going to ask if they were doing an obvious Stan Lee cameo in that.
And Doom makes reference to Galactus, Annihilus, and the X-Men while talking about things he's seen in different worlds. When he's sort of giving them his big villain speech about all the things he's seen.
That's right. Galactus is owned by
Fox.
Oh, what a bummer, dude.
Mm-hmm. What because remember, Marvel tried to get him back.
I didn't realize they tried to get him back.
Yeah, there was a rumor. I think this is one where there's a grain of truth to, but we don't have the full level of detail. But it was when Daredevil's rights were about to expire. Marvel had set up a thing where, like, you can keep Daredevil, we'll extend it by this much if you give us back the Fantastic Four and Galactus and Silver Surfer, and that ended up not happening, but probably for the best because Daredevil looks fucking awesome.
Well, so. Daredevil looks awesome. I gotta say, I'm not eager to see Silver Surfer. We've talked about this. I don't know about it on the podcast, but I just, there's something about him with that surfboard. I just don't know how it's going to translate to the movie. If anybody can do it, Marvel Studios can do it. If anybody can't do it, Fox. Sorry, I calls them like a
season. See, I think Fox depending on who they hire. It's Fox.
It is Fox, yeah. Okay.
Fox, I think it depends on, it would depend on who they hired for me to have any level of faith in it.
Are the X-Men in Fox, Fox too?
Yep.
Oh, there is a chance they could pull the, I gotta say,
that's like, why I said it's about who they have in charge of things.
So I gotta say, like, listening to this script, even though like there's things that bother me, it doesn't sound terrible. I felt the same way.
I was surprised by. It seems like they want to do something interesting where they want to start and sort of make the Fantastic Four their own thing, but slowly roll that into the Fantastic Four. We know, and I find that interesting. With that first trailer, it didn't get me on board so much as it had me put my knives away for it a little bit. Then some of the pictures I was very against, but after reading that, if that ends up being some version of the final script, I could see myself being into that movie if it's done well.
I'm cautiously optimistic, but I would ask them to change a couple of things, which is the things I made fun of the most.
Yes.
Once again, I don't think you need Dr. Doom in there at the beginning.
But I think that's something they're going to stick with.
Look, dude, if he's out in the end zone, like, let him be from the end zone and have it come from that. Like, you don't need a giant explanation. Yeah, just have him from the end zone, and then he winds up in Latveria at some point.
Or have him from Latveria and have him independently discover the end zone before they do. Like,
you don't need a big breakdown for how Doom became Doom. It's not needed.
I don't think it's about how Doom became Doom. It's about tying him in with the Fantastic Four and making him a part of their history.
But if he's the one driving this, this disruption in the end zone, we just solved it. Like, with way less pages than they have. Like, that's an easy solution right there. So I get tired of this, like, you have to have the villain, like, wrapped up with the hero all the time. Like, it doesn't need to be that way.
Yeah, like, imagine if the Joker was just tied into Batman's origin every single time we saw the Joker. Like, it would just not be as interesting. That's not why the Joker's interesting. The Joker's interesting because he's a response to Batman.
Yeah, exactly. Same as like Luther in a way is a response to Superman. Yeah. Like, look at all these other villains, dude. Every last one of them, they're not responsible for the hero. They're just there.
Even Magneto, who has his origin tied in with all the Professor X stuff, he's in and of himself. Like he's a response to not the X-Men, but he develops independently of the X-Men.
Yeah. Learn from your own shit, Fox. But the other one is like him trying to get the Fantastic Four to rule together. That doesn't seem very Doom-like to me. Like, yeah, Doom is all about, like, I am Doom.
I would say, in general, yes, I 100% agree with you. In the context of what's presented, like, if you're going to do that thing where they started working together, then I guess it makes sense there. It's just that I'm not on board with that starting point. Bro. Right,
me neither.
Like, so it makes sense with what they're doing. I just wish that wasn't what they were doing.
Yeah, so let's do away with that. So the little, and really, dude, we're just talking about little things. You know, this can't be the final draft. I can't believe this is the final draft.
I doubt it is.
I feel like a movie like this is still working on drafts while they're
filming. Well, I mean, they just finished reshoots, like, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago? So
yeah. They're probably still writing it. we're due for 2 or 3 more reshoots, I'm sure. So
I would say overall, I'm still not like psyched for this movie, but now there are some rays of sunshine coming through.
Yeah.
Like there are some things that at least have my curiosity. Again, assuming any of this is true.
Yeah, so my thing is, like, those two things with Doom, you do away with those, I'm totally on board with the script.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the rest of stuff is just jokey joke stuff, but, like, Doom is a strong character. Like, I'm tired of watching Doom's balls get ripped off by Fox, dude.
Well, it looks if they're taking the balls off at first, it does look like by the end of the movie, he will be something closer to the Doom we know and love.
That's fair.
Which, that's my thing is, if we see this movie and it's like what I've laid out, I can see that as a movie I like. I don't know that I can see it as a movie I'm in love with, but I can see that as a movie I like. And if we've reached a point at the end of the movie where Doom is now separate enough from that group, like if they use the starting Doom out with them as a driving plot for this first movie, and then from this point forward, it's just sort of references to their shared history rather than like constantly hammering us over the head with it. And they've let Doom become something resembling Doom. I can see myself being on board with this franchise down the road.
Okay, I got a quick question for you. And I fear I already know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Or I fear that the answer is going to be what I think it is. But are we talking like defensive, womanly Susan Storm? Or are we talking like the most dangerous member of the group, Sue Storm? Like, can she kill people with their force fields?
She doesn't. In the script, they never say whether she can or can't. She's sort of somewhere in between the two. Like, she's now very, very smart. Like, much, much smarter than she is in the, like, Stanley Jack Kirby, right, for damn sure. She's very capable in her own right. But since we're in a place with this one where they're all sort of exploring the extents of their abilities, we just haven't gotten to a place. So I would say she's somewhere in between the two.
Okay.
At least as presented.
That's better than just like, I just set force fields, guys, so that I can run and be invisible and not be seen.
Yeah.
I'll protect you and I'll be invisible. That's what women do. I'm not interested in that, Sue Storm. I'm interested in the people got to respect her because she could put a force field and cause you an embolism in your brain.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go that far in this movie. But I think they'll give her some kind of offensive capability.
It would be great if they were just testing it out on like a robot or something. And they were like, Sue, you could kill any person. What I mean? Like,
just like allude to or say something along the lines like, you know, Sue, you could with the proper application of this, if you train this and got enough control over this, you have the potential to be the most powerful person alive or like something like that.
Yeah,
I think would be really just interesting.
Never address it again.
Well, see, I'd actually be okay. One of the things, this is an X-Men thing, but I think it could pertain to a movie version of Sue Storm, in that one of the things I've always liked about the character Iceman is that they constantly talk about the potential power he has, but it's sort of one of the character's personal flaws and that he never reaches it. Yeah. Like, he's always striving to reach that potential, but never quite get to it, whether it's by his own choice, like, I'm not willing to do this, or whether it's just he's not mature enough or not physically ready.
I'd be interested for an earth shattering event.
Exactly. They're saving it for when you can go balls out. And I think I'd be kind of interested if they take an angle with Sue where she's very, they constantly talk about the potential with her abilities, but she's content to rely on just invisibility and force fields at first. Like, I could see that being really interesting. If you give the agency of why she only does defensive stuff in her, if you make that her decision rather than a limitation, I think that's very interesting.
She's like the Greek freak of the Fantastic Four. Like, capable of so many things. Right. We just haven't seen them.
Haven't put it all together yet.
That was for my NBA lovers out there.
So, yeah, all in all, I mean, what I expected from this movie, I'm adjusting my expectations a little bit. I'm now going into it with, if I could have seen this movie 2 months ago, I would have been ready to tear it. I would have sat down in that theater ready to tear it apart. And I think now I can walk in a little more open-minded and say, all right, I'm willing to go along for the ride with you here.
So whatever fan wrote that script.
Great job.
Great job, because you convinced Zach.
You convinced me that the movie might not be horrific. At least they showed a way that this isn't horrific. Like, this could be a solid B+. Maybe A- if we get like an all-star performance from somebody.
So how illegal is this script? I mean, I put this on the tags for the episode. So
I don't think it's that legal. I don't think we can mass distribute it.
No, I don't mean like link the script or anything, but I can talk about it. Sure. Right?
I mean, I have to hope so.
Yeah. Okay. I just always think at some point, I think as long as you put
like a keyword like potential official, like a potential script or alleged script or something like that.
I'm always scared this unseen force, like some corporation, is going to shut us down and be like, you shouldn't use the NBA music there. That's you owe right. us $1 million.
I'm always afraid of that too. But then I remember they can't possibly care. Like, yeah, even I mean, if they did care about us, they will have to go out and arrest so many people before they even get to Montana we that we'd make, know about it. Like, we
don't make any money off of this podcast right. whatsoever.
As soon as we hear a whisper that they're going after podcasts for stuff like that, we will be taking a hiatus.
You know, there is a company going after podcasts, so but they're working on the big wigs.
Exactly.
Right now.
Like we are not in their headlights.
Fucking patent trolls. Have you heard about those guys? Oh yeah. Oh. And they're basically going off of something that, I mean, it was long before podcasting was a thing. And they're just like, yeah, we got the patent, but it's so fucking vague. It was probably involving cassette tapes.
Oh, I'm sure.
They just expanded it. But they won like a big case against Apple.
Yeah.
Which is why like I worry about podcasts. Because, dude, this shit is fun, man.
It is fun.
We finally got a way to like get our voices out there to whoever wants to hear it. Like that's... And if you don't get hits, you don't get hits, but at least like you have a chance. There, you know what I mean?
When I was a child, I never thought one day I could give my drunken misrememberings of a script for a movie that's not out yet. Like that was not an option when I was 11 years old.
I always wanted to do a talk radio show like that. When I was growing up, I used to love listening to talk radio when I go to bed. Uh-huh. Like we would get, so I grew up in Coos Bay, Oregon, and I would turn on the radio and only at night I could get stuff from like LA and like just get it in. And there were so many freaks that would call into all these shows.
Of course.
But I would just be fascinated listening. I was always like, I'm going to do something like that. I want to do like a talk show. And then me and Greg, we actually, there was a while there that we talked about doing a radio show at Carol.
Oh.
Because we found out that you don't have to have a class at Carol, at least at the time. Like you could go in and actually do a radio show. And so we really talked about that for a long time, just bringing our CDs in and like having it be like a 2-hour show and us talking for like an hour of it. And mm-hmm. then like a music for an hour of it, you know, in between talking.
Yeah.
But like having real conversations between that were funny or whatever. And, it never happened. And part of the reason why it never happened was a friend of mine was going to Carol. And at the time this guy like brought he brought on a student who had been raped.
Ooh.
And they got into like the gritty details of it, and he was like kind of making fun of her on air, and it became a big controversial thing. And the guy who did the radio show wasn't a student, and so after that apparently they were just like, fuck it, like we're only gonna let people who take this one class be able to do the radio.
It was probably a smart decision, because at least then you have more control vetting people.
But that dream fucking died after that until now. Well, yeah, until 2010, I want to say. I was driving to Crater Lake and I picked up a newspaper somewhere between like where Crater Lake is in Oregon and here, and just read like, and I'd been listening to podcasts.
Yeah.
But I never thought about like, I should do a podcast until I picked up this paper and it was talking about how they had all these websites where you could do your own podcast. Like they were just talking about how it was a growing thing now. And I was like, holy fuck, I could do a podcast. I got the recording stuff already. I don't need that software. And then my digital recorder was fucking broken.
Of course.
Like it had like when I took the back off it, there's this part that just fucking burnt. Like it was just fucking black.
Oof.
And so I was like, son of a bitch. And so I want to say it was like 7 or 8 months later, we took another vacation and we went down to Olympia, Washington, among other places where I used to live. And I stopped by the music store. It's on my little Tascam we're using right now. And I was like, fuck, that'd be perfect. And so that's how the podcast was born. And I'm feeling all like...
And then I got technopathy and you could stretch out and Brandon can turn into a rock monster. And here we are.
But I'm thinking about the history of the show because we're listening to so many old episodes right now,
mm-hmm.
which once again, we talked about it earlier, but it's coming up really soon. In a couple of weeks, we're going to hit 200.
We're in the home stretch.
That's right. So when we get to episode 199, 198. every day until episode 200, we're going to replay an older episode that's not on your feed right now for iTunes. And we're going to have re-record little intros where we talk about them.
That's right. We reminisce.
That's right. Reminisce, like update, maybe say like why we did certain things. Yeah.
Why we made some of the terrible decisions we may have made.
There'll only be a couple of minutes. Don't worry about it. But we're going to, yeah, it's going to be fun, man. I can't wait.
It's so, an anniversary.
That's right. We're doing this right, man. I tried to think of what would be the best thing. And if everything's going as planned, Adrian will be in for the 200, which, by the way, we were sitting there, me and Brandon were talking to Adrian on Facebook on a little thread, and Brandon brought up that, hey, I'm going to your hometown, because Adrian's from Vegas, you know. And I was like, yeah, I am too. And he's like, where are you staying? We're like the Circus. He's like, oh, that's where all the gangs hang out. We're out of this whole thing. And Brandon was like, yeah, thanks for telling me now. I don't care, dude. They got cheap beer at the Circus. That's right. What I remember. Everywhere else at the time, when I went there like 10 years ago, everything was like $10 for a bottle of beer. Yeah. And then at the Circus is like $1.50. And I was like, fuck yeah. So I just got ripped at the Circus.
The last time I was in Vegas, I was 17. And let me tell you, you want to know what's not fun at 17 years old?
Being in Vegas?
Negotiating with bookies to let you in to watch hockey in Vegas in the summer. That is not a conversation. That is not a debate you win a lot of times.
Did you win?
I did not. No. I absolutely did not.
The eye in the sky probably neutralized that.
I think if it had just been one of the two, like, will you let me hang out in here to watch sports? Maybe I could have slipped it by. Or if it had just been, will you turn one of the TVs to hockey? But I think the two was a bridge too far. The combination they couldn't roll with. Like, first this kid wants us to let him in when he's too young, and now he's being mouthy and making me change the channel? Fuck that. No.
And we don't want to watch hockey anyway.
That's right. It's Vegas. What the fuck are you talking about, kid?
I kept saying I wasn't going to gamble, but the more and more I think about it when I go down there, I kind of want to put money on just one game.
I had Brandon put money on a game for me.
Did you really?
Yeah, it's tomorrow's Sabres Coyotes game because.
What's the line?
The line is minus 165 on the Sabres to win outright.
So this is a money line?
Money line, yeah.
Okay, so minus 165 on the Sabres winning. Yep. I assume you're betting on the Sabres?
Yes, and here was my reasoning.
So do you win 165% of what you bet if they win?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I put 100 down, so I'll get 165 bucks.
If they win. But they're really terrible.
Here's why I chose this game. And I could have gotten way better lines for the Sabres because they have yet to be favored this season. Right. But they're in 30th place. The Coyotes are in 29th place. Now, if the Sabres lose to the Coyotes, they've basically locked up last place, which is all I want out of this horrid fucking mess of a season. And because they're the Sabres, they will, of course, disappoint me because it's Buffalo sports. They will not do what I want them to do, and they will inevitably win this game. So I figure if they're not going to do what I want, I may as well cry into my money after. So right. That's the strategy there.
I kind of want to put money on Memphis winning the championship.
Ooh.
But I don't know if I can get that money back to me in Montana.
Yeah, that's the part you got to figure out.
So I'm going to kind of look into it. But it's going to be a low bet for me. I'll put them like 50 bucks if I do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got to make sure I can get it back in Montana.
Some way or another.
Yeah. Because if I can't, it's not worth doing. Like I'll pick a game while I'm in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to put money on. I think the Grizzlies are going to take it all this year. I really do.
Yeah.
They look got strong. That hunch. Yeah, it's not just a hunch. I just watch a lot of basketball.
Well, sure,
this year.
But I mean, like to some degree, predicting a champion is always a hunch to some degree.
You're right
because
I'm thinking now. I've not seen the odds, so I'm talking out my ass at this point. But mm-hmm. I feel like Golden State and Cleveland are probably the favorites.
I'd
Vegas
have to think, yeah,
because I think the public. Like
Definitely be one because of the public.
Because of LeBron.
Well, which is a public thing.
Yeah, and they're hitting a stride right now. Maybe there's some people who are like, ooh, Atlanta, like they look mm-hmm. sneaky good. So I think those teams, like the odds probably aren't going to be great. But Memphis, I feel
Memphis
like
is one people could
really
sleep on.
Watch basketball kind of know that Memphis is probably the favorite.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, I don't think the public is on to that. And it's more about what the public wants.
Yeah,
because that's where the bets come
yeah,
from.
Yeah, Vegas doesn't put the lines in such a way to reflect the actual odds of who win the game. They put the lines out to reflect how people are betting on the game, because their goal is to make money no matter who wins.
I'm guessing the sharps would back Memphis on that kind
I
of
think
bet.
It would depend on what the value was to a right. certain degree. But yeah, I'd have to think you're probably right there.
Yeah, and I'm talking on my ass. I haven't looked at any of these odds.
And that's
at
the thing,
all.
Without knowing the lines.
It very well could be that everybody is on to Memphis.
If you're going
to
do it, you should also find some weirdo prop bet you can put money on for quick satisfaction.
Great prop bets. I love prop bets.
Find some weirdo prop bet for a random ass game.
What I should do is, if I ever go to Vegas again, actually do it around the Super Bowl. That would be
fun as hell.
And just bet like a low amount on like 20 different props.
Have you heard of the machines some of the casinos have for sports betting, especially football? You can make bets on a play-by-play basis. So like on any given play, you can be like, I bet it'll be a pass, or I bet it'll be a rush on the right side or up the middle. Or like you can bet on what each play, you can put more money in and bet on the outcome of individual plays.
I will say,
I love gambling. It's the best.
I will say, the first time I was in Vegas, I would have been 21. So let's see here. It would have been like 2000. Portland was in the Western Conference Finals against the Lakers. Okay. And Portland had won game 6, and everybody was starting to think that Portland was going to beat LA. Everybody fucking thought it. And I remember being really drunk on Goldschlager and being in Vegas and like having like $100 and just being like, I'm going to go lay down my fucking money on Portland. And I walked down and I looked at the odds and I'm like, oh, if I win this, I'm only going to win like, it was like $50 or something. Mm-hmm. If I lay down $100, and I thought like, nah, fuck that. That's too risky for me. Like, I'm drunk right now. It's my own
not
team.
That
maybe
drunk.
I better go back to my room and watch the rest of this game because it was halftime.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to my room, and Portland had a sizable lead, and they fucking blew it, dude. They blew it so much. And the only thing that didn't stop me from jumping out of the window
is that
the
you
Luxor
didn't lay your money on it.
Is that I didn't lay my
well,
money on it.
Well, that and the non-removable windows.
Yeah. We have the weird slanted rooms too. They have these like slanted discount rooms in the Luxor because like it's a pyramid, right? So like they have oddly shaped rooms.
The rooms nobody really wants.
Well, it's like the rest of the room is normal,
mm-hmm.
but
it
you
just
get this
slopes in
fucking,
the wall.
Yeah, slant, and it's all glass. Like it's this giant window.
It's like having your bedroom at the top of an A-frame house. Like your room just isn't shaped right.
Yeah. And I didn't care, but it made my mom, like, she insisted that the curtain stayed shut and stuff because it kind of made her uneasy.
Uh-huh.
But it was, like, way cheaper for those
of course.
Rooms, which is why we got it.
Because they make people uneasy.
It's funny. This will be my third trip to Vegas, and 2 out of 3 times I've gone with my mom. Like, this is not the Vegas trip where, you know, what happens in Vegas stays
This
in
is not
Vegas.
The hangover.
No. That was my second trip with Craig. That was so much fun. All right, you got anything else to say?
No, nothing that can top anything we've done to this point.
All right, so take it easy.
Hey man, thanks for coming out to meet me. I've just been so down lately.
No problem, man. What's the matter?
It's so hard to talk about. My batting average isn't quite what it used to be.
Your batting average?
My drive shaft doesn't have the kind of torque I'm looking for, if you catch my drift.
So you're feeling some depression from your erectile dysfunction?
Some? I'm only feeling depression from my erectile dysfunction.
You know, something that helps me is the Not Safe for Network.
The Not Safe for Network? What's that?
Not safe for network.
Side effects include rule birds, best available, we have a good life, Montauk Skies, Fox Office Battle, Thin Men, and shooting the show. Do not take Not Safe for Network if you're on Cialis, Viagra, On Legend, or Comedy Central commercials at 4 a.m.
Not Safe for Network.
Wow, my whole world is new. Thanks, Not Safe for Network.
Not Safe for Network, putting the function back in erectile dysfunction.
Not Safe for Network.